here we are. We're here not to do our own pleasure, but to do Yahweh's pleasure. And we know it's pleasurable for Him for us to come before Him. And in doing so, we honor Him. And so what I'd like to talk to you today about is being truly honorable. And we do this in our lives. We do this in honor to Yahweh. We magnify His name. In fact, when you look in any dictionary, it's most likely, when you look under honorable, it'll most likely bring up, like, a good name is honorable. Well, whose name is above all names, and shouldn't we honor it? Let's go into Deuteronomy 28, verses 58 through 59. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, Yahweh, your Elohim, then Yahweh will bring extraordinary plagues on you. Not just simple plagues, but extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. So, you know, here the law is equated with His name. Essentially, if we're not careful to observe all the words of this law written in this book, you know, to fear this honored and awesome name, you know, by doing Yahweh's will, we fear and honor His name. I mean, don't we? Absolutely. And so, you know, part of the reason for proclaiming His name is to, you know, share His actual name, but it's also to share what He's about, what He expects of us. And as we open today, we know that we are not to do our own will, but to do His will, what's pleasurable to Him, not what's pleasurable to us. I mean, we could take the Sabbath and go watch a game or, you know, play golf or, you know, a number of other things that we could be doing, but we're not. Why? Because we're concerned about what Yahweh wants in our lives. We're not wanting to do our own will. We're wanting to do His will. Honor Him, and you honor His name. Romans 9, verse 17. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." You know, Paul is quoting Exodus 9 here, and is saying what the purpose, part of the purpose was for Pharaoh and the Exodus and all that. It's to give honor to Yahweh's name. So again, honoring Yahweh's name is important, and it's important to Him. And living His way is important to Him. Now, Yahweh is loving and merciful and will receive honor if the right things are done. A basic principle from Yahshua is to take a lower position, and a greater one will be given. Luke 14, verses 10 through 11. When you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will have honor in the sight of all those who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And we see this throughout history. We see individuals like Mussolini and, you know, people with egos as big as houses. Well, they were put low when they tried to raise themselves up. But for us, we are taking the lower position in Messiah to be lifted up by Him at the appointed time. And, you know, honoring Yahweh and knowing about the feast days. And, of course, we have the Feast of Tabernacles coming up. You know, these things tell us about Yahweh's plan of salvation. They give us insight. And so we know what's coming, so it's easier for us to endure and to move forward knowing the end from the beginning, because Yahweh tells us these things. And so we know that His word is sure and that these things will take place. So we need to make sure that we're in line doing these things that are pleasing to Him, so that we can have that end result of good and being told, "Well done, good and faithful servant," at the end of it all, and having those rewards and knowing that, you know, all things will be handed over to us as has been handed over to the Son, you know, being co-rulers with the Messiah, who's going to be the king, or who is the king, but will be the king in the coming kingdom. And so this is part of the what we see in Revelation and other areas of prophecy. But the world is seeking after riches, everything for a quick buck. And dealing with some of the companies today, it's, you can see the greed. You can see how they're not so concerned about you, they're concerned about their bottom line, about, you know, making that quota or having their stock, you know, price go up or these type of things. That's underlying, that's the underlying current of today's society. And that's why we've had, you know, markets crash and such because of the greed. But, you know, these things will come and go. And ultimately, in the kingdom, these type of things won't be allowed. Right now, we're finding out that we can't really, manage ourselves unless we are managed under Yahweh's word. That's what's important. And we are to be attentive to his word so that we can be in line with his will for us. Yahweh will honor those that honor him. What better way than to proclaim the truth of his name and the name of his son to everyone? 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, Yahweh Elohim of Israel declares, I will indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now Yahweh declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Well, you kind of have to get a context of this. This is Samuel talking to Eli about his sons and about what's been going on, because things were not going well at that time for Israel. And there's a number of areas in which it was not going well for Israel because of the sins of the people. And here we find that Eli's sons, the priests, were being chastised for their disobedience, and they're actually told a little bit later that they're going to be killed because of their sin. So sin causes death, as plainly the word tells us in Ezekiel 18 and other places. But these individuals are named by name, Hophni and Phinehas, in verse 34, if you read down there. But they were committing fornication. How deadly is fornication? Fornication is deadly. This is what they were doing. It was one of the sins that was named. Yahweh didn't appreciate it, especially when these individuals were supposed to be leaders and examples for the rest of the people, those in Israel. There are other examples when wrong actions are taken against Yahweh. Moses lost entrance into the promised land because of his sin. What did he do? Well, he disobeyed Yahweh in front of all of Israel, and that was not what he should have done. You may recall how he smashed the rock with a stick. Well, he didn't probably smash the stick, but he was so angry that he wanted, you know, he couldn't control his anger, essentially. I mean, I'm sure he could have, because we all have free will, and we are to be angry but not sin, the word tells us. So what was his punishment? Well, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because of a sin against Yahweh. A sin in front of all of Israel, in fact. So that's why it was so severe, because he was supposed to set the good example, being a leader in Israel, just as the priests were before Israel. But they sinned, and they suffered consequences. King David committed adultery. He murdered, trying to cover up his sin. So it was sin upon sin. And he suffered. The sword never left his household, so he didn't get away with anything. He suffered. His reputation suffered. His good name was now known as something corrupt, because he was corrupt. But thankfully, he repented. He asked Yahweh's forgiveness. Yahweh granted him that. But he still suffered. And I think it's in Psalm 51, he says, you know, my sin is ever before me. That was after the fact. You know, he'd been forgiven, so what does it mean to my sin is ever before me if Yahweh's taken away? Well, we don't forget what we do. It stays with us. But we have to remember that Yahweh is not like us. And where we find it hard to forgive people, Yahweh is able to forgive us and put it as far west as to east is. And so that's a good thing. So we have to keep in mind that we need to rely on Yahweh's goodness in our life because of our own, you know, frailties and things that we know of ourselves. Well, thankfully, he doesn't, he's looking through the Messiah at us and seeing, I think, Yahshua's goodness in our place. And that's part of the process that being in Messiah helps with. The King Solomon is another individual. He started out good, humble, asked for wisdom, was granted, but he ended up bad. Spoken directly by Yahweh, at least twice, and still ended up building pagan altars for his foreign wives, which he was told not to do, including David. David was told not to multiply his wives. What did they do? Multiplied their wives. It's not appropriate. And today you have some that do that, not to that extent, but because the concubines were massive and in the hundreds. But we still find things not quite in sync with Yahweh's way of life. And you go back to Adam and Eve, and the intention was one man, one woman from the beginning. And the whole idea of polygamy laws and such, that was only added because they had to deal with society. But from the beginning, it wasn't that way. As Yahshua addressed other issues that, well, why does it say this? Well, from the beginning, it wasn't that way, but because of the hardness of your hearts, this had to be inserted. So there's going to be some things in the coming kingdom we're not going to see. And I think one of them is going to be polygamy. We're not going to see polygamy in the coming kingdom. But some want to promote that as being lawful. And, well, we can do that. You know, well, it's not going to be that way in the kingdom, I'm pretty sure. Because it wasn't that way from the beginning. Okay, Matthew 20, 20 through 23. When it comes to honor, we should not be seeking it, but there are those that do. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Yahshua with her sons, bowing down, making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left." But Yahshua answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And he said to him, "Oh, yeah, we are able." Well, he said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." So here's the mother, seeking glory and honor, first and second position for her sons. And, what loving mother wouldn't want the best for her children? I mean, obviously. But it's interesting to note that James and John were there at Gethsemane with Yahshua. They were also there at the kingdom vision of Yahshua with Elijah and Moses. That was a vision of what's coming. So we think that patriarchs will also be brought into the kingdom. But they were close to Yahshua. That's the point. Beloved by him, I'm sure they loved him, yet they evidently didn't know him that well. Otherwise, they would have kind of stepped back from what their mother was wanting. Once the other disciples heard all of this, they weren't too happy. Matthew 20, 24 through 28. And hearing this, the ten became indignant. They became kind of upset with the whole situation. But Yahshua called them to himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, however, but wherever or whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Was Joshua speaking to the 10 or to the 2 indirectly? I have a feeling he was talking to the sons of Zebedee. And of course, this is for our information, and of course the others would have learned as well. But in the book of Mark, Joshua nicknamed these two brothers the sons of thunder. You know, when thunder happens, it's strong, it's bright, it's like startling. These two brothers evidently had some, attributes that could be described like lightning. So interesting. But Joshua is clear how our nature is to be, not how it is. We are instructed to serve one another. But of course, as children, watch two little kids playing, and it won't be too long that the one will be pulling on a toy and the other one will want it, and they'll pull back and forth. And, you know, we know this goes on. So we know that we're in a fallen world. We know that the nature in general is not good. But we have the opportunity to draw on Yahweh's nature within our lives, to lean towards his spirit and lean towards his understanding, not our own. And this gives insight. This gives us help. And this strengthens us. But the strength that we show sometimes is foolishness to the world, because we're to be humble, we're to serve, and that looks strange, because to make it in the world, you got to be strong, you need to push people out of the way to get what you want. Well, that's not what Joshua wants of us, and that's not what he came to do. Now, it's true that he's coming back as a lion with a rod of iron. We should get to know him now as a lamb, as a gentle servant. And, in this respect, we'll also be able to have, strength and authority later in that way, I suppose. But, we're not to lord it over people. We're not to be that way. But that's the way it is in the world in general. Joshua is clear how our nature is to be. We are instructed to serve one another. In the example against the Pharisees, for example, Matthew 6 and verse 2, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. We always hear, someone bragging about something to others, and what they're doing is they're seeking to lift themselves up. They do certain things to be seen by others, to lift themselves up. We're not to be that way. And we're told, the point is here, seeking honor now, we can lose our reward in the future. King Saul is another individual. King Saul, I don't know if you've read his story, but he started out good. I like Solomon, but he ended up bad and pathetic, actually, when you read through his life account. Alternatively, the Apostle Paul started out bad, but ended up good. I mean, he was considered the chief of sinners because he persecuted the assembly, Yahweh's people, and he knew it, but he didn't know it initially. He had to be slapped upside the head and then told what was what. And then the scales, literally and figuratively, came off of his eyes. And that happens to us sometimes too. And it's not necessarily comfortable going through some of the things that sometimes we do go through, but it's for our own good. To wake us up, to get our attention. And we know that, Yahweh is a loving father to us, but he disciplines us as a loving father. And if he doesn't discipline us, if he doesn't punish us at times, then He doesn't love us, but we're told that he does love us. And we're told that these things happen because of that love for us, because he wants us to be guided in a right and proper way, his way, which is for our good. It's not for our bad, it's for our good. Haman in the book of Esther can actually be related to Satan when you look at the account. Mordecai, of course, was wanting to do Yahweh's will, but Haman wanted to lift himself up. I'm like, look at me, But instead of honor, he received death. He was hanging on the gallows he had prepared for another. He actually prepared for Mordecai. So the irony was that the one that it was built for is actually the one that received the honor, not the death. And we're told that, essentially, there'll be those that won't like what we're doing, what we're saying, that we're believing in a father named Yahweh, and that he expects his children, which is everyone, essentially. You're either going to be put in the category of obedient children or disobedient children. It's your choice. He says, choose life. The idea that, I was born this way, and we hear this, out in the world and different things. We're told by Yahweh to choose life. So we have a choice, and that choice is to be a good one, to choose life. The other alternative is death. I'm encouraged, though, because I know that Yahshua on the stake said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So for ignorant sins that are done, people are in the dark. There's hope for them, more hope for them than for us to come into the knowledge of the truth and then walk away from it. Is that even a possibility? Yes, because of choice. We can choose even after coming in to walk away, and we've seen a couple do that. So it's important that we count the cost, that we make the determination that we're not going to give up, we're going to move forward, we're going to trust that Yahweh knows what he's doing and won't forsake nor leave us and help us. But if we forsake him, that's another story. What's he going to do with that? If I pull my hand out of his, is he going to chase after me? If I am determined to run away from him? Well, maybe for a time, but then, left to my own devices. So I'm not saying I'm going to shake my hand out of his hand and take off, but... some of these things, they come to mind. It's like, do I really need to be doing this? Well, yes, when you think about it. We all need to be coming together, not doing our own pleasure on the Sabbath, but serving and worshiping him. And serving in the capacity that we're capable of doing. And, we're all given talents, and we have the ability to pray for others, to be faithful, to encourage, to be cheerful, to express fruits of the Spirit within the body. And the whole purpose is to lift up the body. And we're all individuals, so we're all being shaped and positioned as a stone within this temple. Good description of the spiritual temple. But it's not all that comfortable to get shaped and, I'm this way now. He wants me this way. Okay. Well, as we learn, we grow, and this becomes part of who we are. But we grow together. That's why it's important that we don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 are really, that verse is often quoted. Talks about, you go on sinning, you're trampling on the blood of Messiah, then there's no more sacrifice for sin. But before that, the verse before that talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Why would it say that? Because there are some that are in that habit, and it causes a drifting. It causes them to just drift off. Eventually they leave the faith, which leads to that trampling on the Son of Man, on his blood. And then after that, right after it talks about that, it talks that there's nothing left but a fearful expectation of the wrath to come. You know, the two that I had mentioned had left. They tried to come back years later, but they couldn't. Something was wrong. They didn't stick with it. They weren't able to fit in anymore. Why? I think it's because Yahweh's Spirit had left them. Because they forsook Yahweh. They shake their hand out of his hand, and they ran or walked or drifted. I'm not sure exactly how it happened for each of them, but I was told by both of them what had happened. And they forsook him. So there's a warning. There's a warning for us not to forsake him. All right, Matthew 6:2. Let's go on to Proverbs 18:12. The Proverbs themselves give insight into the subject of pride. Before instruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. In Proverbs 29:23, it says, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Pride will bring low, but the humble will be lifted up. And this is the basic principle that we find in Yahweh's word. We are to honor others worthy of honor. In the book of Ruth, Ruth honored Naomi by attaching herself to her ways, or to her and her ways, which were Yahweh's way, way of living, way of life. In Genesis, we find Joseph was more honorable than his brothers. Why? Well, he considered Yahweh's ways. Even when in Egypt as a slave, he was concerned about what Yahweh thought, what was his will for his life. You see that in the writings there in Genesis. In 1 Chronicles, Jabez was noted and more honorable than his other brothers. He called on Yahweh in prayer, and Yahweh answered his prayer. We are to respect everyone within reason, and setting forth a good example as a witness of life, of the life that we profess. James 2:1-4. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Master Yahshua the Messiah with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in this good place at the head, or something like that. And you say to the poor man, oh, you sit over here, down by my footstool. Have you not made the distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Like, what can I get from this rich guy, or, you know, evil motives. And so Yahshua doesn't want us living that way. In general, honor all men with equality and maintain peace by doing so. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. Speaking of honor the king, honoring the king, when was the last time we prayed for the president of the United States? About the presidents or prime ministers of other countries? You know, there are brethren in other areas of the world. It's not just us, and it's certainly not just us out here in Kingdom City. But there are others, other brethren that it'd be good if the countries would do the right things and allow a worship to take place, these type of things. It's not easy in some parts of the world. But speaking of honoring those in authority, 1 Timothy 2:1-2. First of all, Then I urge that entreaties and prayers, partitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all reverence and dignity. Respect, essentially, that we may live our lives unhindered, doing Yahweh's will. And, you know, this is just a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle living for Yahweh, coming before Him, worshiping, singing, doing these things at the times that He tells us to, and living our lives while we're out in the world working, or, you know, with the jobs, respective jobs that we have, doing those things which would reflect that we're coming from this rather than from, you know, the red light district or the Mardi Gras or, you know, carnival. Why do they call it carnival? Carnal? Okay? Carnal. So we don't want to come from a carnal, you know, fleshly, that's the world. And we want to set a good example for others so that they might ask, hey, I notice you don't go to the office party, you know, a lot of debauchery there, but you know what? What's going on with you? And you miss out on this whole week in October. What's that all about? Well, it gives us an opportunity to tell them about what we found to be true and how they can receive benefits. In fact, there was one guy that wrote a book about how he kept the commandments just to see. I mean, he's basically agnostic, as I understood. But to this day, he still keeps a Sabbath, interestingly enough. Why? Because he found a great benefit of not working 7 days a week. Imagine that. There's actually it's a benefit to us to rest one day out of the week. Some of the other things, maybe the dietary laws, even one of the mega churches, in fact, the minister had said, he says, I'm going to ask the deacons to lock the doors, because I'm going to tell you that we should be following Deuteronomy 12, Leviticus chapter 11, concerning the food laws. And he said, now hold on. Like, this was going to be upsetting to everybody. Oh, I can't eat pork. What are you telling me? Well, he was saying these things because there's benefits to us by not eating unclean things. So, while it may have been funny, kind of, you know, lock the doors and this type of thing, he was telling basically what, you know, the benefits are. So these things that are written down for us are for our own good. It's to help us. It's not just, you know, thous and do's and don'ts. They're for a reason. First Timothy 2. Let's see. Well, some in the past, as today, have not liked authority. On the book of Numbers, there was Korah's rebellion. Remember that? Remember what happened to them? The ground opened up and swallowed them. They were against Yahweh's chosen leadership, Moses at the time. Other stories like Zedekiah's rebellion, Jeroboam's rebellion, these were bad kings in the past. Israel's rebellion, again and again. Make up the pages of the Bible. It's a warning for us not to rebel, but to rather honor Yahweh and to be at peace with one another. And one of the things, and this is a benefit. I mean, if we are honoring Yahweh, He can make even our enemies be at peace with us. That's a benefit. So maybe I ought to do a message just on benefits. Well, that could take a while. Might have to be a long series. But honor starts at home with our physical and spiritual family. The fifth commandment in Exodus and Deuteronomy says to honor our father and mother. A specific command with a specific blessing if we do it. John 12, 25 through 26. He who loves his life loses it, And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal, or life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Honor the Son, you will honor the Father. Serve the Master, and Yahweh will honor that person. You know, I know that the commandment of honoring your father and your mother, the fifth commandment, is with a blessing. But if you look at the Ten Commandments and you look on each side, there's also a blessing for just keeping all of the commandments. So there's benefits, blessings. But in Revelation 8, 16 through 17, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of Elohim, and if children, heirs also, heirs of Yahweh, fellow heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. You know, we get ridiculed for some of the things we do. Keeping the feast days. What nonsense, we're told. But, you know, people that don't keep them don't understand, and they don't receive the benefits when they don't keep Yahweh's word. They just don't understand. It's beneficial. Not only is it honoring Yahweh, but it's beneficial for the individual or, you know, collectively to do these things. Romans 8, 31 through 32. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all that will accept him. Because not everyone will accept him. But how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So again, promise, blessing. We can rest assured that these things are coming if we overcome, if we endure. And that's that's difficult at times. We think, why is this going on? What's going on? I can't stand it. It's like a fiery trial. Well, there are fiery trials, but that's okay. Because they refine us, they shape us, they get us where we need to be. There's certain attributes that we're going to have that are going to be carried over. Some attributes not going to be carried over. So Yahweh is building us up for a purpose. But honor Yahweh by honoring his ways. This day, the day that we're in, is to be honored. Isaiah 58. Verses 13 through 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure, you know, mowing your lawn or fixing up the garage or, you know, what else could we add? Pleasure. Going to the game. You know, just different things that we can do. There's six other days that we can do these things. But if we keep our foot from doing our own pleasure, if we don't walk towards doing our own thing on his holy day, my holy day, he says, so it's not the Jews, it's not Israel's, it's his. And this is clarified even in Leviticus chapter 23. It says, these days are mine. These are my appointed times. Even though, you know, if we keep them, it's like a sign between us and him that we're his. You ever think about that? It's a sign between us and the Father. If we remove the sign, we lose that connection. We lose that identifying sign that we're his. But it says, call the Sabbath day of delight if you do this, and the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, speaking your own word, then you will take delight in Yahweh. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. That's pretty profound when he says, the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. What did Joshua say? Oh yeah, live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. So we are told that his words are important to us to live by, not just hear, for it's not the hearers of the law that will be justified, it's the doers. And yet we find people saying, oh, the law's done away with. I mean, Don't worry about that. I hope they're in complete ignorance, because it's good if they are, in the sense that they'll be able to, once their eyes are open and their ears unstopped, and whereas they haven't taken instruction, they will take instruction. That's a promise. We find that in the book of Isaiah, for example, the prophecies that are, well, we're in right now, of Israel being blind and people in general being blind and deaf. But what's coming too, the kingdom, and how people will change, and how there will be those that were rebellious will no longer be rebellious anymore. But Isaiah 58, 13 through 14 gets back to the idea of honoring the law, that honoring the law, we honor Yahweh. And if we honor the Son who kept and taught Yahweh's law, we honor Yahweh. And Yahshua kept all the commandments as an example to us, not so we don't have to. Do you understand that? Because some will say, well, he kept everything so we don't have to do it. Well, that's like a father or mother, you know, obeying the laws of the land, you know, stopping at a stoplight, you know, being obedient to, you know, paying their taxes, these type of things. And then, you know, kids getting up and going, well, my parents did all that, so now I don't have to. It doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, parents are to set the right example, and the children are to follow in that example. And that's exactly what the Son did. And speaking of the seventh commandment, and even the tenth commandment on coveting, of course, marriage is mentioned in the seventh commandment, but Hebrews 13, 4 through 6, marriage is to be held in honor among all. You know how we said Joseph thought about Yahweh's ways? You know, he was confronted with the idea that he could have had a relationship with his master's wife. He pulled away, said, I'm not going to go there. So he was keeping himself in a right way with Yahweh, keeping Yahweh's law. Marriage is to be honored, held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers. Okay, fornication is different than adultery, but it's listed along with it because it's be a sexual sin, and it's right up there with adultery. Both cause death if you want to live that way. But says Elohim will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Here we get into the 10th commandment. Being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, Yahweh is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And this is our confidence. And this is what it means to be truly honorable. Honorable before men, honorable before Yahweh, honoring Yahweh before men. This is what we need to do. It's simple, but our lives get complicated sometimes. They get complicated with sin. So that's why it's really important to get the sin out and to walk in Yahweh's ways. Because ultimately, Yahweh's ways lead into eternal life. The world is going off the cliff, quite frankly. And what's coming, we don't know for sure exactly, you know, tomorrow or what next week brings. But things have gotten a little heated with North Korea and some of the other things going on. Now, when we look at Matthew 24, it says these things will come. And Yahshua said, look, don't be worried about it so much. There's still other things that have to occur. But as we see the times, the signs of the times, I think rightfully so, we should be more alert. We should be more dedicated. We should be paying attention to what we're doing. And if it's really honoring Yahweh and being honorable before men, because this is where the rubber meets the road. We need to be honorable people, setting an example for others in the world and being pleasing to our Father, being the obedient children that Yahweh would have us to be. May Yahweh bless.